Instead of saying, what am I going to do to make 2024 a better year? What if we said, what is God doing in 2024 and how can I get involved? How can I jump in to what he is doing? Because, you know, New Year's resolutions, one guy said it's like, you know, in one year and out the other. And so it's kind of the, we get it. I mean, I know it's a dad joke, but we get it. It's just quick and we forget about them. But what is God doing? What does God want your 2024 to look like? And the beginning of the year is a perfect time to start over, to work on some new habits and change some things, get rid of some stuff, add some stuff, and to figure out what you want it to look like. But what is God asking from you? What is God doing in 2024? It's not just a rhetorical question. I hope that before you leave here today, you go, I got to answer that question. I need to know what God is doing in 2024 in my life. In the Old Testament, it gives us a reference that, where it said that the vision, they said, write down the vision so the runners can run with it. So write it down so they can take off and tell people about it. Well, one reason you write something down is so you don't forget it. You would never tell a runner, hey, here's the message, now go. Because when it gets there, it's going to turn into a game of telephone, and they're going to give the wrong details and the wrong thing. And so you write it down. So what does God want from 2024? How does he want your 2024 to look like? Now, here's the important thing you need to know. God is always working in our lives. No matter what your circumstances are right now, God is always working. God, no matter how good your circumstances are, no matter how bad your circumstances are, God is always working. And the Bible says that those that love God and those that are called by God, basically those who are following God, that their circumstances, that God is going to use those circumstances for good. So God is always working in our life. So we know that. So if God is always working, what is he doing right now? Here's the beautiful thing. You are the expert on your life. Nobody else is the expert on your life. You are. I can't walk up to you and tell you, this is what God said, and you need to do what I'm telling you to do with your whole life. That's not the way it works. Now, maybe God impresses on me something, and I can share it with you, and maybe that gives you some direction, or you could do that with me. But the problem with that is I've had people walk up to me, and they tell me, I've heard from God. And I need to tell you what God said. And they tell me something, and I'm like, you got the wrong guy. That is not what God's been telling me. I don't know where we're at in this, but one of us is wrong, and I'm going with you. I didn't say that. But that's what I felt like. Now, at the same time, there's been those moments where somebody that I trust and that I believe in their relationship with God, they've said something to me that gave some direction to what I was already feeling. And how God was working. Because God is speaking to us. God is working in our lives. We just have to tune in and allow him to do his work. Now, in the Old Testament, what happens is the Old Testament is really the story of God's people. The children of Israel, or the Israelites, we know them as. And it informs, the Old Testament informs how we live our lives today. And so we can take the stories from the Old Testament and we say, this is something, and maybe it's in a metaphorical sense, but we can say, here's something, here's a principle that happened to them that they live by or God spoke to them, and I can apply that to my life today. And so one of those stories, one of those accounts in the Old Testament was when the Israelites were freed from Egyptian bondage. They had been slaves for hundreds of years. God worked many miracles to get them out of slavery and get them into their own place. He said, I'm going to get you out of slavery, and I'm going to give you your own home. Canaan land, the promised land is what we know it. Israel, the land of Israel. So he said, I'm going to get you out of slavery and get you your own home. And so that's what he did. And then decades, generations, hundreds of years go by. And then the Israelites, the children of Israel, at this point find themselves in another problem. They've sort of drifted away from God, which is what we do if we're not purposeful about our relationship with God. We drift. we just sort of slide away. That's the only, you miss church one time, it's easier to miss it a second time and a third time, or you stop reading your Bible, and it's easier the second time and the third time. We just kind of drift. If you stop going to the gym, come on now. You're like, I'm going to the gym at 5 o'clock every day this year. And the first day you miss it, you're like, I'm not going back. I'm just not. You just kind of drift away. That's what we do. It's just what we do. We have to be vigilant about it. We got to stay on task. And that's why writing it down, knowing what God wants 2024 to look like is so important. But the children of Israel had kind of drifted. And they had been conquered in their own homeland that God had given them. They had been conquered by an enemy army, the army of Babylon. And so they now, the Babylonians, had taken the children of Israel prisoner, basically, took them from Jerusalem back to Babylon. Now, here they are. It's not exactly like slavery that their ancestor had experienced in Egypt, but they were not free. And so they had passed down the stories for years about their great-great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers that had gone out of Egypt and had crossed the Red Sea, and how God had miraculously parted the Red Sea, and they had walked across, and just miracle after miracle. And so they had kind of lived on these miracles for a long time. Well, now they find themselves and their children in exile, in captivity in Babylon, and it's a problem. They don't have their own stories of victory. They find themselves in a terrible spot. They're living off the victories of the past, but they don't have their own stories of victory. And I'm going to say to somebody this morning, I want you to get this one. You can't live off the victories of the past. Family, personal, any of that. It's now. What is God? God wants to give us victories now. He wants to work in our lives in 2024. He wants to change some things. God is always working. So he is. The people of Israel are held captive in Babylon, and they don't like it, obviously. And God uses the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament to say these words to them. I just want to read it to you. Then we're going to look at it on the screen in a little bit. Isaiah 43:18 says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So God said, I am doing a new thing. The word new is very simple. We all know it. We don't need it explained. It just means something that was not existing before. It's just something new. We get it. You know, if you get a new car, you don't want anybody to even look at it wrong. You're just like, just don't even touch it. Don't bring those potato chips in here. Leave that Coke outside. We're going to park 3 miles away in the Walmart parking lot. You know, we're just, it's new. And sometimes it's not even that it's brand new. It's just new to me, right? It's new to you. And so we understand it. I got a theory about parking a good car. Make sure you park it beside somebody whose car is one notch better than yours. They will never ding your car. All right. They're looking out for you. They're like, I can't believe that loser parked beside me. All right. And so we all get it. New shoes. I remember as a kid thinking these new shoes are going to make me run faster. And then I realized I was just slow anyway. It didn't matter what it was. I mean, we all get it. We know if you get a scuff on those new Nikes, come on, man. You mess up them $220 Nikes, you're like, you better not step on my blue suede shoes. All right, so there's all kinds of stuff. We get it. We like new stuff. So God said, I'm going to do a new thing. Now, he's talking to people who really haven't had their own set of victories. They're still living off the past from their ancestors. They're talking about it. They know who God is. They know what he does. They don't really have their own victory stories. And God is saying, I want to give you your own victory story. I'm still working. I'm still working all the time. I'm still changing stuff. I'm still moving in your life. You have to ask me, what am I doing? So here's the key. If we look back at the Old Testament and we say, okay, we get it. They were living off the victories of the past. Now, what are they going to do at that point? We have to ask the same things. We could say, I'm living off the victories of my grandma or whoever, or we're living off the victories of my church, or we're living off the victories of somebody else that we believe in their relationship with God. And it feels good, but here's what I believe God is saying to us this morning. He wants to give you and me our own victories today. He wants to work in our lives today. He wants to change some things in our life. So the first step in understanding how and starting to grow in this and realizing that God has a plan and he's going to do a new thing, the first step in that new thing is to change our focus. We got to make sure that we're no longer looking in the wrong direction. Look what it says in verse 18. Forget the former things. He's like, all the victories of the past, forget about all that stuff. He said, forget about the victories. The victories. Forget about that stuff. I back in the day, I played a lot of church softball. And I'm not an athlete, if you were wondering. I'm not an athlete. I enjoyed it. It was fun, but I'm not very good at it. Here's what I found out. There are always two or three guys on a church softball team that are reliving the glory days from high school. And they are angry at everybody. If you miss a ball, they're going to let you know, and they're going to embarrass you in front of everybody. It's church softball, but they're going to cuss at you a little bit, and they're going to let you know because they're still living on the victory of the past. And I'm like, dude, you are not 18. You're 39. We got to let it go, all right? The Texas Rangers are not calling, all right? It's over, okay? You should play softball because it's fun now, not because you're good at it, because you're not. Okay, so when you start, if you're living on the victories of the past, then you're facing the wrong direction. My past is over here. God's got stuff planned. He said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And some of us are facing over here. Like, you remember when God did that thing? You remember when that good thing happened to us? And we're looking backwards. And God is saying, I got plans over here. I'm trying to do a new thing. You got to forget about the former things. And you got to let God work in the today so that the future is what God wants it to be. He said, forget about the former things. Do not dwell on the past. If I'm continually looking into the past, I will never see what God is doing in the future. Sometimes we find ourselves living this negative life. Now, all of you that are over 40, I'm going to preach to you for a minute. Stop saying, America used to look like this. Because it was messed up back then. You know, the 50-year-olds were talking about me and you just about 30 years ago. They were talking bad about us. Listen, there's some stuff I want us to change. But we can't look back to the past. We say things like, well, there was a time in America where everybody went to church on Sunday morning. Yeah, there was. It's not today. So I can look back and I can go, 1949, that was the glory days. Who cares? It's gone. What is God doing now? How is God working today? Where is God taking us as individuals, as families, and as churches? What is God doing right now? Amen. If we're ever going to move into these new things, then we cannot depend on past victories to sustain us in the future. Now, the Israelites, they left Egypt and they conquered Canaan land and amazing stuff happened. But now they found themselves back in captivity again. All those previous victories didn't matter. So the question is not, what has God done? The question is, what is God doing in your life right now? What is God doing? What is it that you want God to do in your life right now? What is it that you're praying for? In order for us to move forward, we've got to realize we don't get what we deserve because we don't deserve any of it. We get what God blesses us with because he loves us. When our kids were little, even when they were knuckleheads, I let them eat dinner every night. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. But they're mine. They're ours. We love them. And you go, okay, you were kind of a knucklehead at Walmart today, and I was kind of embarrassed when you turned that buggy over on yourself. But it's okay. We're moving on. So some of us have made those kind of decisions in our life, all right? We've failed. We've dropped the ball. It's not about what we deserve. It's about what God has planned. The children of Israel had experienced great spiritual blessings. The first Passover and the parting of the Red Sea and the conquering of the land of Canaan and building the temple. And the children of Israel had seen the hand of God at work in the past. But what was God doing now? How was God working now? They had to move their sight to faith. The Bible says it like this. You can't please God with sight. It takes faith to please God. If it's just something I can see, there's no faith involved. If I can't see it and I don't know what the future is, then it means something different. There's faith there, which leads me to number two. The second step, if we're going to embrace this new thing God wants to do, is not only do we have to change our focus, we got to clarify our focus. What are we trying to accomplish here? Verse 19. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Let's stop there. He said, it's coming. Don't you know? Can't you sense in your spirit? Don't you perceive that something is happening, that there's something going on? And I've had conversations with people like this in the past where they go, I don't know what God is doing, but I know he's doing something. I'm not sure what it is, but I know I just feel like he's doing something. And it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And he works like this too. When we're dissatisfied with where we are, he's using that to get us where he wants us. If I know there's things that God wants to do in my life and I'm not cooperating with him, it's on me. I haven't clarified the vision. I'm still looking around, but I haven't zeroed in on the vision God has for me. So where's God taking you? What is God doing? Now, the first place to look is open the Bible, right? Open the Bible. Open the book. If you haven't opened the book, you can go to YouTube, and I'm sorry, YouVersion, the Bible app, and you can go to Grace Point, and you can find we're starting a brand new reading plan, and you can start that with us. And if you're behind a little bit, it's all right, okay? Won't take you but a couple of days to catch up. And if you don't want to catch up, don't catch up. Just jump in, all right? We get caught up in checked boxes. And we let it stop us. How many times have we started a reading plan and we get behind a few days and we go, I'm not even reading the Bible this year because of those check boxes. Forget about it. Just jump in and you'll get some fellowship in there as well. You got to have the word. So do you want to hear from God? You got to start with his word. Then you go to godly people and you get wisdom. You search out what God is saying to you. You clarify that focus so that you can be all that God wants you to be. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He said, look, you're going to go through this wilderness, but I am going to make a way through that wilderness, and I'm going to put some streams there along the way. He was saying, I'm going to miraculously put some streams in your path. I'm going to refresh you along the way. I want to say that to somebody this morning. If you feel like life is a desert right now, there's a stream somewhere out there waiting for you. All right? There's a drink. There's a cool drink waiting for you. A refreshing is coming. It's what the word says. Streams in the wilderness. When you're out there in that place where you don't know what is next, he is waiting for you there. He's going to refresh you. What do you see? What do you see when you view your life? Do you see possibilities or do you see problems? This is not a motivational speech. What does the Bible say? That's what we care about this morning. But are you looking at your life with possibility through the lens of possibility or through the lens of problem? Is it about, okay, this is what God could do, or am I focused on the negative things that I don't think are going to happen? He said, I'm making a way. I'm providing streams. I'm putting you in a place where I'm going to meet you there. I want to challenge us all this morning. What if 2024 became the most positive year of our life? What if you were so positive, other people go, what in the world happened to you? I mean, you know, some of us are like, Cowboys are going to win today. And I'm going to be honest with you, some of y'all are like, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to choke. That's negative. All right, stop that. Positive or problems? How do I look? What if you became, sometimes we're afraid of looking naive. We're afraid, if we're positive, if I say something good about the boss and everybody's going to think I'm just sucking up, right? I can't do that. And the world is dying for positive people. And people who know Jesus ought to be the most positive people in the world. We ought to be looking at the world with just possibilities. If you got a neighbor that's a knucklehead, you're like, when this person gets saved, man, is this going to be a testimony? All right? We don't have to be negative about it. We get to choose how we're going to respond. We clarify the vision, the focus. All right, and here's number three. Commit yourself to God's plan. Where's God taking you? What is God doing? How is God working? How is God working in your life? Because he's working. He's working in your life today, right now, in the middle of the circumstances that we don't like. He is working. The Bible says it like this. If we love God and we're called according to his purpose, like we want his will to be done with our life. If we have those two things going for us, we love him and we want his purpose to be done in our life, everything in our life will bring about good somewhere down the line. Every negative thing that happens to us, every positive thing that happens to us, all of it will bring about good somewhere down the line. Maybe not today. It might not feel like it today. But somewhere down the line, we get to choose if we're going to commit to that process. Psalm 95 says this, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts." He's speaking to us. It's the picture of a shepherd taking care of the sheep. You ever see a shepherd take care of his sheep? You should watch some videos sometimes. They don't say things like, "Hey, sheep," when they're calling them. They got noises. They're like, "Woohoo! Hey, feed up." And those sheep are like, "Wait a minute, whoa, wait. And a shepherd never stops with one. He's woo, 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 woo. He's crazy. You think he's drunk. He's just taking care of the sheep. And those sheep know his voice. Somebody else can be on the other side of the street screaming the same thing. And the sheep go, "I don't know about him. He sounds like an imposter. We know that guy's got the feed over here. Let's follow him." That's the picture it's showing us. "For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Today, if only you would hear his voice. The Bible makes a difference between sheep and goats. Sheep follow the shepherd. You can't make a goat do anything. You can chase a goat all day. Sheep will just follow. Sheep are like, "Let me hear that voice. Wait. Listen, he's going to take us to a new pasture if we'll just do what he says. He's got good things. He's got good things in store for us if we just go his way." And he said, "Do not harden your hearts." Don't get hard. Be positive. Be filled with faith. Trust the Lord that today, that 2024 is going to be better than 2023, that God has something in store, that God is working. God's already set some things in motion. I just want to encourage somebody right now. God's already set some things in motion for your life that you don't even know about. He's already put people in place. He's already working in your life. He's already changing circumstances in your life, and you don't even know about it yet. You remember when Jesus told the fishermen they'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught any fish? And he said, "Cast your nets on the other side." And they were like, they had to be thinking, "We're fishermen and you're a carpenter, but we'll do it because you're Jesus, right?" And I believe that Jesus had been getting fish from all over the lake all night to that one spot. I think those fish were like, "Whoa, Jesus needs me on the other side of the lake." And they all just congregated over there. I don't know where they came from. They throw their nets over the boat. They catch so many fish, they got to get another boat to help them. I mean, it's sinking the boat they got so much. I believe that God is sending fish your way. I believe that God is working in our lives. I believe he's already sent out the messages. We just got to let him do it in his time and cooperate with him, clarify the vision, stay committed, do this thing God's way. Because it was still up to the children of Israel whether or not they were going to obey God when the moment came. I'll tell you the end of the story. God took care of it. An army was involved and it was amazing. And they started releasing the children of Israel from Babylon. Here's what's sad to me. Not all of them went home. Some of them stayed in Babylon. They'd gotten so used to Babylon that they're just like, we're just going to stay here. They were in captivity. They weren't even free. And they were just like, we're going to stay here because this seems comfortable. But the people who longed for home and longed for what God was doing, they packed everything up and they headed back home. We get a choice. We can just camp out in Babylon. Or when God's voice comes, we can go forward. We can go where he's taking us. We can follow him into something new. But I'll promise you this. If God is leading you somewhere, it's going to be scary and it's going to be a lot of work. God doesn't just roll it out and just give us stuff. You know, we all just want to line up like, God, I'm going to take the blessings ready, just load me up. That's not the way God works. God requires us to have faith. We got to take some scary steps along the way. And we're going to have to put some labor in. We're going to have to do this God's way. We all want it just to be handed to us. And he doesn't do that. Because why? He's developing character in us. He's far more concerned with your character than your comfort. He can make us all comfortable right now. I mean, if he just wrote us all $1 million check and paid off the house and, you know, gave us and just gave us a bunch of people who let us do anything we want to do, that'd feel so good. That'd be comfortable. That's not what he does. He allows us to go through hardship because he's developing our character. Character's not developed when things are perfect. Character's developed when things are tough. So when he's leading you and he's working in your life, when he's changing things in your life, cooperate with him. Commit to him. Allow him to work. I'm going to close this part with this little, with a quote. Isaac Newton, his first law of motion. I love this. He said, everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Which very, very simply means that book, that Bible is going to lay right there until somebody moves it. Until some force is applied and it's moved somewhere else. You are going to sit in that chair until you use your legs and stand up and walk out of here. Now, here's what I'm going to break down what he really meant. Here's what he meant. Nothing changes until something changes. Until we decide to change something, God can't really work in our lives. We can refuse God's plan. We can refuse his will. And we can remain in captivity or we can move forward step by step by step by step. Change our focus, clarify our focus, commit ourselves to God and allow him to work. Now to bring this from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Jesus was the following day. We find him in this scene with his disciples. And the following day he's going to be crucified. And he has a meal with his disciples. He's already taught them how to go out and minister to people, and he's endowed with them with gifts and just all kinds of great things. But he gathers them up, almost like a family meeting before the thing. And he says to them, he gives them some bread, and he said, when you eat this bread, I want you to remember that this is my broken body that I'm giving up for you. I'm dying in your place as the substitute for you. And then he said, he gave them some wine. He poured the cup. And he said, this wine represents my blood, the New Testament, the new covenant. Remember he said he was doing a new thing for the Babylonians? And then he said to you and me on that night of communion, I'm doing a new thing for you. I'm not going to leave you in captivity. This new covenant, I'm changing the rules. I'm changing the game. This is no longer about how good you are. This is about how good I am, and I'm going to go in your place as a substitute for you so you can have a relationship with God. He's doing a new thing. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. It'll be the best decision. I don't make promises about much, but I promise you this, it'll be the best decision you ever made. It'll change your life now, and it'll change your eternity as well. Because you said, I want God to do that new thing. So if you don't know him and you're ready to say, let me just surrender, then we say it all the time around here. It's as easy as ABC. We have to admit that we've sinned. I mean, we can all admit we've sinned. We're all imperfect. We believe in Jesus. We confess him as Lord of our life. just starts there. It starts with a relationship, a journey. And you allow God to start working in your life. Or maybe you've been away from the Lord and it's just time to recommit. It's just time to say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I know the Bible tells me you'll forgive me when I mess up, and I confess all that, and I want you to forgive me today. Because God, I want you to do a new thing. I want you to do a new thing. I don't know about you, but I want God to do a new thing in 2024. I don't want it just to be more of the same. There's good stuff in my life for sure, but if God's got something new that he wants to do, I really want to be on the same page with him. I really want to follow him. I really want to put down my fear and laziness and follow him with all my heart. God, if you're taking me out of this, and you're taking me somewhere else, if you're doing this thing in my life, I want to be in step with you. So if you're ready to make that step, we're going to receive communion together in just a minute. And so after you come by and pick up your bread and your wine, I want you just to take it back to your seat and hold it there. And then when you do, we're going to pray together. So if you would, everybody stand with me. Let's come by and pick the elements up and then just take it back to your seat and hold it right there. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your blessings on us, God. We thank you, God, for every good thing that you've done and every good thing that is on the way. We give you praise right now, Lord Jesus. We give you praise right now, Lord Jesus. We receive what you're doing in us, God. We want that new thing in our lives, God. We put our faith in you, our trust in you, Lord. We put our trust in you today, Lord. We put our trust in you today, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it together.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. Yes, you are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. For from
explains to us that when we're going to receive the Lord's Supper, communion together, that it's a time for us to examine our lives and ask God's cleansing power, that he changes us, forgives us. And so that's our moment right now, where we say, Lord, I want you to forgive me for my sins and wrongs. I want to be the man and woman of God that you've called me to be. I want to serve you. I want to put you first. And so we're going to do that right now. in preparation for receiving the Lord's Supper together. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings on us. We thank you, God, for all you've done. And Lord, today we just give to you this moment. We ask you to cleanse us, Lord. Your word tells us if we do sin, we can bring that to you and we can confess our sin and you'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And that's what we do right now, God. We just ask you to cleanse us. We ask for your help. We ask for your will to be done in our lives. And we thank you for what this moment means. We thank you, Lord, that you want to do a new thing in our life, that you care about everything that we care about. And you love us, Lord, and you have a plan for us. And you want to use us and you want to bless us. And we thank you for accepting us just like we are. We thank you for changing us in the areas we need change. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus, as he was meeting with his disciples, he gave them the bread and he said these words, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So let's receive the bread together right now. God, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for what it means. Thank you for dying in our place. And then he said to his disciples, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's receive the cup together right now. God, we thank you. We honor you right now. We give you praise. Let's sing this song together right now. Let's just honor him together in worship. Lord, we thank you.
You are the
We thank you right now. We thank you right now, God. Just before the scriptures we read earlier in that passage, he said these words, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I'm the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." Now here's what he was referring to. When the Israelites were first allowed out, or when God got them out of Egyptian slavery, he parted the Red Sea, he worked this amazing miracle, and the people of God walked across that red on dry ground through the Red Sea. And when the enemy army started to chase them, the Bible says that the waters receded back or went back on top of them. And he says he killed every one of them to save his own people. Now watch what he said next. This is going to be a different version of the scripture we just read. He said, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do." Amen. Amen. So listen, if parting the Red Sea and drowning that army so that God's people could be safe, if that was miraculous, what in the world is God going to do for you in your family, in your life, on your job, with your kids? What is God planned? A new thing. So I want to ask this question again. What is it that you believe God wants to do in 2024? What is the new thing God wants to do? I get it. We're all a little nervous about making declarations like that. But here's what you do. You pray about it. You say, God, what are you doing? What do you want my life to look like in 2024? And you just start following one step at a time. One step at a time. When you do this, you're not saying, I'm perfect, I got it all together. You're saying, Lord, I might make a misstep. And he's like, oh, that's all right, I knew it anyway. I knew you weren't perfect when I picked you. All right? I got a plan. You just stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Just follow me. That's what he said to the Israelites. Just follow me. I got it. So what do you need from God? How is God going to work this year? What if we said, Lord, I'm going all in on you this year. I'm going all in. This is not about me. This is about you. Lord, what are you doing in 2024? And I believe that we'll look back at the end of 2024 and we'll go, wow, I'm glad I was on the right side. I'm glad I was there when he did that new thing. Amen. 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 So open the Bible. Find godly people. You know, there's a bunch of them around here, all right, that can encourage you and pray for you. You can do the same for them and encourage one another with godly wisdom. And let's see what 2024 looks like as individuals, as families, and as a church. Let's see what God, what is the new thing he wants to do.